Hello, this is tape number 101, Visitors from Lanulus. It is an on-the-spot interview with Woodrow Derenberger, recorded very shortly after he claimed to have contacted Indrid Cold, a strange person who got out of a UFO on an interstate highway near Parkersburg, West Virginia. For a complete list of tapes about flying saucers and also books, write to Gray Barker, Box 2228, Clarksburg, West Virginia, 26301. And now, Visitors from Lanulus.
Present a very interesting and outstanding guest on our program this evening. I will introduce him in just a moment. I would like to introduce my cohort in this adventure, Mr. Ronald Maines, who is the general manager of WTAP TV and radio. And we are here to ask this gentleman questions, and we will be asking questions for the next half hour to 25 minutes. Our guest is Mr. Derenberger, route number 2, Mineral Wells, West Virginia. Mr. Derenberger has a very interesting story to tell us this evening. I will give you a thumbnail sketch to begin with. Whether or not you believe in unidentified flying objects or not is not the point. Whether you believe in what you hear or see on this program is not the point. We are here to talk to a man that allegedly did make contact with such an object within the Parkersburg area last evening, November the 2nd, 1966, at approximately 7:25 p.m. The incident allegedly took place on Interstate Highway 77 near the interchange of route number 47. This gentleman is a salesman in the area. He has been a resident of the area for the past 50 years, and he has given us permission to interview him, to show his face, and to call him by name. This in itself takes a lot of initiative and, to be very plain, a lot of know-how. Mr. Derenberger, in your own words, would you please relate what happened last night?
Well, I am a salesman, and I drive a truck. And last night, shortly after 7 o'clock, I was coming from Marietta, Ohio, coming down Interstate 77. And just before I came to the intersection of Route 47, there was a car past me, overtaking me from behind. And following closely behind this car was this unidentified flying object. And as the car ahead, or the car behind passed me, this object was following close behind it, and it swerved directly in front of my truck, turning crosswise. And when it turned crosswise, it slowed down. It started slowing, not abruptly or too fast, but it gave me plenty of time to step on my brakes and slow down with it. But it forced me to come to a complete stop. As soon as I had stopped, there was a door opened in the side of this vehicle, and this man stepped out and came directly to me, or came to the truck. He walked to the right-hand side of the truck, and he told me to roll down the window. He asked me to roll down the window on my right-hand side of my truck. And I had done what he asked. And this man stood there, and he first asked me what I was called. And I knew he meant my name, and I told him my name. And he asked me, he said, why are you frightened? He said, don't be frightened. We wish you no harm. He said, we mean you no harm. We wish you only happiness. And I told him my name, and when I told him my name, he said he was called Cold. That was the name that he was called by. And he asked me what the city of Parkersburg, he pointed to the lights. He didn't point, but he gave the impression that he was pointing, and he asked me what that was called. And I told him it was Parkersburg, it was a city, a town. And he asked me if most all the people lived in this city or town. And I explained to him that it was a place of business, it's where we transacted our business. But the people lived in communities, outlying communities, most of the people. And when I told him that this was a city, he said if his, where his home was, that that was called a gathering. And again, he told me not to be frightened, which I was. I was very frightened. And as far as I can understand, this was all mental. There was no spoken words from him. I knew what he was asking me, but yet he stood there and his mouth did not move. He had a smile on his face. He appeared very courteous and friendly. And after I talked with him a while, he told me he would see me. He said, we will see you again. And he left in his vehicle.
Now, Mr. Dernberger, for the sake of our television audience here, the words that you used, cold. Cold would be like, cold is his name. This is how it sounded to you, that his name was Cold.
Yes.
And the word gathering was like, we would know together or something like that.
Yes, that's what he meant. That was the impression that he gave.
And he did not move his lips nor utter any sound whatsoever. He talked with you in telepathy then.
That was right, that his lips did not move. He uttered no words at all.
But you talked. I mean, he did.
Yes, I talked. He told me twice that I could either talk or I could think, which either would be better or easier for me.
This was an instant thing. This wasn't, there was no hesitation on his part nor on your part. You knew immediately what he was communicating to you, and he knew immediately what you were communicating to him.
That is right.
What did this object, what color was this object?
This object was between a real dark gray and black. I would call it a charcoal color. It glistened in my headlights. My headlights, when it stopped me, my headlights were shining directly on it.
Were there lights in it?
No, I see no lights of any kind. There was no lights in it.
There were windows.
If there was windows, I couldn't detect them. I couldn't see them.
And when the door, now, you had a very clear view from behind the wheel of your van, the driver's seat of your van.
Yes.
He came forward toward you. Did he tell you, did he communicate to you to roll your window down before he got to the side of your truck? Well, was he still in your headlights when he communicated?
He was still in my headlights, walking in a kind of a diagonal way across my headlights to the right-hand side of my truck when he told me then to roll down, if I would please roll down the window on the right-hand side of my truck.
In the beginning, you were driving south on 77.
Correct.
From Marietta.
Yes.
Toward Mineral Wells.
Yes.
A car passed you.
It did.
Immediately behind this car, of what distance?
I would say between 25 and 30 feet. It was very close to the other car.
It came this object.
Yes.
Hovering how far off the ground, would you say?
Well, when I first seen it, I seen it out of the corner of my eye, and I first thought it was just another car, and then I knew it wasn't a car almost immediately, and I turned and looked at it. And I would say it was approximately 30 to 35 feet long, and it came directly across past my truck and immediately turned sideways.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely across the two-lane highway. It was completely blocked me. I went partly off of the road onto the berm to try to go around it, but I couldn't get around it.
Now, let me ask you something. Then when it came in front of your car, may I have, Mr. Dernberger was kind enough to draw us a sketch of what this object appeared to him, and we'll let you see it here. I'm correct, then, that the object came alongside of your car, veered in front of your car, and as you slowed, or your truck, and as you slowed your truck down, the object slowed down, and then when it landed, it didn't land, it stayed off the ground.
Yes, it was approximately 8 to 10 inches off of the ground, and as soon as it came to a stop immediately, there was a door on the side facing me open, and this man stepped out, and he started walking immediately right to the right-hand side of my truck.
Now, this is, that would be then the picture we have on our screen right now. That would be the angle. Your truck would be going right at that. Is that the idea?
That's pointed right. Right.
Now, where would the door be in that particular object there?
It would be right where the large part of the drawing starts.
Where the hump is?
Yes, right in the front of the hump.
Would it be in this direction here?
Back toward the right. No, that's too far, Mr. Wilson. Back up front farther.
About here?
Right there.
About in here.
Approximately right there. It resembled just an ordinary automobile door when it opened.
All right. Now, this didn't open from a bottom hinge or a top hinge. It opened from a side hinge.
It opened from the...
We know.
Yes, it opened from the side.
How about, how was this gentleman, how was this person dressed? What type of clothing did he wear?
He had a top coat on, and it was zippered down the front. His top, the top two buttons, like my coat here, were open, and this outfit was a shiny material. It was a glossy outfit, like it was metallic, I suppose you would call it. And his shirt was a little bit darker than his jacket. And below his coat, he had on trousers of the same kind of a cloth material. And I believe the trousers were just a shade lighter than his coat.
Which would have been a navy blue, the color.
Yes.
Dark blue.
Yes.
Coat. What about the texture of his skin, the color of his skin, his eyes, eyebrows, eyelashes, hairline? What were these? What did he look like?
He looked perfectly natural and normal as any human being. He had his face looked like he had a good tan, a deep suntan. He was not too dark, but it was just like he had been out in the sun a lot and had a good tan. His hair was combed straight back, and it was a dark brown. And he seemed to have a good thick head of hair. And his eyebrows, his face, his features were very normal. I don't believe that he looked any different from any other man that we'd meet on the street.
Now, this ship that he stepped out of, when he left the ship and started toward your truck, toward your van, the ship remained there as he walked toward you?
No. Immediately that he stepped out of the truck, or out of his vehicle, the door closed and the vehicle lifted straight up. It went straight, just as straight as you could point upward. And it went up, and I did see it. And occasionally as I was talking to this man, I looked up and it was still there. It was approximately 50 to 75 feet off of the ground, and it stayed there all the time this man was talking to me.
Now, when he talked to you, did he turn his head away as I'm turning my head away now, or did he stare right at you, or did what was his movement?
He watched me when he was talking to me. He looked at me directly in the face. But as there were several cars and several big trucks passed, and as these big trucks had passed, he would turn his head and glance at the trucks.
But there was no... Did you look at the object in the air while he was talking with you? Did you glance up at
it? Yes. In fact, I leaned forward and looked kind of out of my windshield, and I could see it. It was still...
So then this communication that he had with you would not necessarily depend upon him looking you in the eye or anything like that, they're not evident.
No, he did not. In fact, when he first got out of the vehicle, when he told me to roll the window down, it was impossible for him to see my eyes because I was behind my own headlights, and he could not have done it.
How old would you say he was?
He looked to be approximately 35, 40 years old. Mm-hmm. He was a very nice-looking man. He was neat.
What specifically did he say to you? What did he say? Hi, it's a nice evening? Or, what? I mean, why did he stop you? What was his...
When he asked me to roll the window down, which I did, I rolled the window down, and he told me, he said, I would like to talk to you. I just couldn't answer him. I just couldn't speak. And at that is the first time he told me not to be frightened. He said he wished me no harm, and He talked a little bit in disdain, and he asked me why. He said, why are you frightened of us? He said, we are the same as you. He said, we eat, we breathe, we sleep, we bleed, even as you do. He said, we are like you. Mm-hmm. He said, please be not frightened.
Did he say where he was from?
He did not say where he was from, but when he asked me what Hartiesburg was, and I told him, he said that where I stay or where I live, my home, he said, we call this a gathering.
Did he say anything about him? Did he volunteer? Did he have a family? Did he ask you what you did for a living? Where you worked?
No, he asked me if I worked for a living. He asked me if I had to work to live, and I explained to him what I was. He even asked me where I lived, and I told him. I told him that I was a salesman, and he told me that he was a searcher.
A searcher?
A searcher.
But he didn't tell you what he was searching for?
No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. He didn't offer me no information other than this, but at two or three times he did tell me. He said, Mr. Dernberger, look at me. He said, do not be frightened, look at me. And I believe if I hadn't have been frightened, I believe that if I had have looked to him, I believe that I could have understood a lot more of what he wanted me to than what I actually did.
You just have this feeling, I mean. But
I have that feeling. I was very nervous. I was very upset after this happened. And after I got home and after I had calmed down, I can look back now and I see where I should have asked him questions. And I believe I had the impression that he would have answered these questions readily.
Do you believe in flying saucers?
I have never have believed in flying saucers before. I have heard about them a few times. I've even read in the paper about flying objects. But I honestly never did believe in it.
Do you believe in them now?
I believe in what I seen last night. I believe it was, I don't believe it was a saucer, but I believe it was an alien, some kind of an aircraft or spacecraft or something.
Mr. Dernberger, we have a program on radio called The Joe Pine Show, and Mr. Pine interviews extraordinary people in various, that are involved in various occupations and some non-occupational type of businesses. And have you ever heard of Joe Pine?
No, I haven't. I don't believe I have.
All right. On one of his recent broadcasts, he talked with a man. He interviewed a man who had not only had somewhat similar experience to what you had last evening, but this gentleman went one step further, and he had been taken aboard a spaceship, which, by the way, was described quite similarly to what you described this particular ship. And this ship, with these people who looked like we do and so forth, took him to Venus and took him to Mars and brought him back home again. What would you think of a story like that if somebody told it to you? What would you think of the person telling you that story? Would you believe that now? Would you believe that that could be possible?
Now, Mr. Manns, I believe now that that could happen. If someone would have told me yesterday before this happened, I would have frankly thought he was a nut. But I honestly believe now that it could happen. I'm surely not going to say it couldn't happen. Now, these men last night, or this man, gave me no indication that he wanted me on his ship. He didn't ask me to get out of my truck. As I say, he was very friendly and courteous. And
you drink?
No, I do not drink, Danny.
I mean, you don't drink intoxicating beverages?
No, I do not drink any intoxicating beverages at all. I don't believe in drinking, and I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw last night, I know that I saw it. It was no figment of imagination. It was there, and I was there. And
now, you said that he also made the statement that we will see you again.
When he was getting ready to leave, he stepped back from the truck about one step, and he said, Mr. Dernberger, we will see you again. He didn't say I. He said we will see you again. And when he got in the truck, or when he got in the vehicle, the door opened as he walked up to the vehicle. And he stepped up into it. And there was another man, or I couldn't describe this man because I could just see his outline, but I did see his arm and hand reach outside and take a hold of the door and pull the door closed. And when the door closed, it made an audible noise like you'd shut a door on a big, heavy automobile.
What kind of a noise did this object make when it was hovering above the ground 6 or 10 inches and then upon letting the man off, and you say it went back up in the air 75 or 100 feet. This is an object now that we're talking about that's 8 or 9 feet high, 36 feet long,
yes,
and about 8 or 9 feet across.
That's right.
In breadth. It would, although it's really not too large an object, it's larger than what an automobile, for example.
Yes.
And to lift something like that would take a lot of force to do this. What kind of a sound did this make?
The sound when it was hovering over the ground and when it was lifting, I couldn't distinguish no difference in the sound. It was a low, fluttering noise.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever heard the blades of a helicopter as it was idling, sitting on the ground, that would be the closest way that I could describe the noise it made, but it was not very loud.
Can you make a noise that it sounded
well,
like? Are you?
It was a fluttering noise. It sounded something like.
Mm-hmm. But it's a sound you have never heard before.
I had never heard anything like it before in my life.
Let's get back to this. Let's get back to the fellow here now. He was how tall?
I would say he was close to 6 feet tall, and he'd weigh around 180 or 185.
I'm 6 feet tall. He's heavier than I am.
He was about your height.
But heavier than what?
Yes,
I am.
He was
facial.
Heavier. His face was more full. His.
How much do you figure that I would weigh?
I'd say about 165 to 70, 180.
You're right on the button. That's right. There were no lights. This was dark. This time of night, it was dark.
It was completely dark, but I never at any time turned my headlights off, and I also had the lights in the truck on. I have a cab light, and then I have lights back through my truck.
Mm-hmm.
And these lights were on. It gave good illumination up close to the truck, but not too far back. But while he was standing and talking to me, I could see him clearly. And at several times, there was cars passed and trucks passed. And especially cars that came up from behind me, as they came around the bend, they were throwing the headlights directly on the back end of my truck and was throwing a good light on him.
But no one slowed down or
no
paused.
No one slowed down.
Like but they would have easily been able to see him.
Yes, they
do you suppose maybe somebody in our audience might have passed you last evening, standing there talking with this fellow?
I know that there was several cars past me, and one car, as this thing settled down in front of me, was coming to meet me. And when this thing was directly in front of me, this car came to meet me. And his headlights were, it was in a kind of a curve. This guy came to meet me, would be making a left-hand curve, and his lights would be shining off to the right. But I still think that he could have seen and probably did see whatever this object was.
Glenn, I've been monopolizing here. You sneak in with a question. You have some questions you'd like to ask?
I know personally that Mr. Dernberger was scared because I talked to him a short time after this happened by telephone last night. What did your wife think when you told her about this episode?
Well, my wife was, she took it pretty calmly, but it kind of made her nervous. She worried today before I started back to work. She thought the same thing could happen again, and she believes that what I told her, and she's pretty upset herself about it.
This thought communication, which is apparently extrasensory perception or mental telepathy, when was you first aware that this was the way that you were communicating?
Well, when he first told me to come, when he first got out of his vehicle and started over to my car, that is when he first told me or asked me if I'd roll down my window. At that time, right at that minute, I didn't know that it was mental telepathy. But when he came to the door and looked in through the window from the right-hand side of the truck, then I realized that he was speaking, but his lips were not moving.
Is this the thing that frightened you, that shook
you up? This is what made me, that frightened me more than anything I believe that had happened up until that time, even more so than when I actually seen the object. And I know that he told me not to be frightened. He was very reassuring in his attitude. He was friendly. He smiled continuously while I talked to him.
He kept his arms folded something like this all the time.
His arms were folded completely at all times, like I said. His hands were hidden. And at the time I talked to him, I didn't think nothing about it. But after I started home, I did wonder why he stood that way. And as I believe one of you gentlemen asked me before about his hands, when this man closed the door, when he got back in the vehicle, I distinctly seen this other man's hand and arm. And his arm looked completely normal in his hand.
Now, you described the attire of this person more as a suit, such as I'm wearing, than a uniform.
Yes,
that we know as a uniform.
I would say that it wasn't a uniform. It didn't have, you know, the cut of a uniform. It was more like you'd wear a suit to town, or...
Was it a cloth like this?
Well, it was a bright, shiny collar cloth. It looked like a what my wife calls a hard fabric. It glistened when the lights would shine on it.
A luminous type.
Yes.
The arm that came out, another arm from inside came out to close the door when
yes,
this gentleman
did.
Got back. Was that arm clothed in the same type of...
I would say it was identically the same. It looked the same to me exactly.
Now, he had on, from what you could see, he had on a shirt that buttoned with a collar but no tie.
He had no tie, but I know that the top button of his shirt at the throat, I know he had a button there. I seen that. I looked at that button.
Mm-hmm.
His button. Now, his top coat was zippered. It had a zipper on the front of his coat. And he looked perfectly normal.
Why do you suppose that he came around to the right-hand side of your truck rather than the nearest side to you? Why do you figure that he came around that side?
Well, the only reason that I could give for that was that I had two wheels off on the berm and two wheels sitting on the highway where I'd been trying to get around this before he got me completely stopped. And I believe that this man actually knew the traffic conditions. I believe he knew that he would be safer on the other
side. Now,
if
he didn't use words in communicating with you, if he used thoughts, why did he have you roll your window down? So that he could hear you?
So
Do you feel that this was why he did
it? I believe that he had me to roll the window down so he could look at me without looking through the glass, because the glass was very rain street,
uh-huh,
where it had been raining.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the impression that I got, that he wanted the window down so I'd be in closer communication with him, or so we could see each other. Or...
Uh-huh. The time when he left you, when your conversation was ended, how did you know that it was all over? Did he say, did he say anything to the effect that, well, I've got to be going now, I have to go, I know... how did he terminate this conversation?
He terminated his conversation very quickly. One second we were talking there, and the next thing this vehicle settled down right beside, he stepped back from the truck. And when he stepped back, this thing came right back down. Now, it wasn't crosswise, the road. When it came down, it was heading in the same direction I was. It was
right
the length of
okay.
the truck. And when they settled down, he turned and walked up around in front of my headlights and back. But just before he started, he said, Mr. Dernberger, we will be seeing you again.
You believe he will?
I did believe it, but now I don't know how to answer that honestly because I'm afraid he will, and I don't want him to, but I have a feeling that he will.